at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License and all.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Brody, I know you're not a vehicle guy because you're a Toyota Camry man. You're not a truck man.
One car that I've fallen in love with is the new Mustangs. And I've never been a Mustang guy, but I love like the Mustangs and the Dodge Chargers. So here's my question. I'm 48 years old.
He's not going to get a whole hell of a lot better.
Is that a bad look if I was to get a Mustang at 48 years old? Does that just look like midlife crisis?
Dean Cusimano calls those sports cars midlife crisis mobiles.
Does she know?
No.
No? Okay.
Who cares what people think and say? Do it.
Nice car.
Yeah. She's a sweet ride.
Is that your orthopedic back pillow?
Because I do drive a lot during bear season.
Right.
You know, driving from Chicago to Lake Forest on a daily basis, assuming that's what will start to happen in July. I'm not saying that I'm in the market necessarily, but I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I'm late blooming for a Mustang, like something I didn't want when I didn't care about when I was in my 20s. And now maybe because it'd be nice to have a nice car and maybe I have more means to do it, I think, but then I think, that might be a bad look.
Whose car is that out front?
Mine. 1970 Pontiac Firebird, the car I've always wanted, and now I have it. I rule.
Uh-huh, where's the Camry?
I traded it in.
Shouldn't you have consulted me first?
Let me think. No, you never drove it.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I could see Moby Ditka in a Mustang. That's a good fit. I like that.
Yeah, that the flowing locks blowing in the breeze as he drives his Shelby convertible up the Edens to get to Lake Forest to cover the Bears. Sure, that's a good look for him. Boy, I love me some Lester Burnham. The closing comments in the opening ceremonies there, Kevin Spacey's character in American Beauty. Lester Burnham only lived to be 42 years old, but man, oh man, the last 3 months, Danny, he knocked it out of the park. He got his convertible. He got to be pals with Ricky Fitz, the pot-smoking neighbor next door. And he got free of a wife who had been under his skin for quite some time. So great, great, great film and great, great role for the disgraced Kevin Spacey once upon a time. How you doing, kid? It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Mac. How am I doing? Well, that's a loaded question these days. It's good to be back, first of all. I appreciate you reaching out as consistently as you did, and same for, you know, Mitch Rosen and Shep and Tanny and Spiegs and everyone in the mob. And, you know, I appreciate my colleagues who have reached out. I, you know, miss Thursday and Friday. It's been tough, man. Like, I don't know. I think I'm still in some ways processing all of it, even though I was kind of expecting some of the news. But last Wednesday's show is certainly one of the hardest I've ever done. At about 1:15, we got the pathology report back from my big brother, Brad, and it wasn't good. He has glioblastoma, which, like I said, I had done a lot of research when he got the initial diagnosis of having a brain tumor that, you know, I wasn't totally surprised because that's the most common form of primary brain tumors. But if you don't know what glioblastoma is, consider yourself fortunate. You can Google it if you want. It's there's no cure. It's very aggressive. Sometimes, you know, the results can be measured in months and not years after prognosis. It's devastating. Like, it's straight up devastating. Now, I don't want to put too much of that energy into the atmosphere because Brad is, if anything, like he will be the 1%. You know, he's young, He's got some resources behind him. He's got an amazing support group, and he has by far the best attitude of anyone I've ever known facing anything. It is truly inspirational and remarkable. We'll get him on the show here eventually once we figure out this whole treatment plan and get him ready to do it. He wants to come on the show, so we'll talk to him.
Good.
But yeah, man, it's hard. He's got a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, my nephew and niece, and today is his wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary, Brad and Jen. Hope you guys enjoy your night together. But yeah, it's completely rocked our world. Like, I don't really know what else to say. I've spent a lot of the last 4 or 5 days reading up on experimental clinical trials for immunotherapy treatments for brain cancer. Let me tell you, real page turners.
Life hurts, man. Life really hurts. And I don't know how you plowed through Wednesday after getting that news. Bless you for doing so. But as I told you right before we went on, I would have been happy to have done the best I could to muscle my way through it.
Yeah, I know you would have.
All three of us here. And you know Mitch feels the same way. Whenever you got to go, man, you go and spend as much time as you can with Brad, who I'm glad he's coming on the show. I hope I can meet him very soon. I would like that. I'm sure he's got more than me on his plate right now, but I would love to get a chance to visit with him. And if it's going to be on the show, it'll be on the show. But if time arrives around the corner where we can get together and have some pizza, that would be a wonderful thing. I'd love to spend time with your brother.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats.
I eat the pizza. Yeah.
We'd share the pizza. Yeah. You know, he's a great guy. You would love him. And so, yeah, I certainly will be spending some time. I don't plan to take off all that much time, but I don't know. Like I honestly don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. And this damn pandemic, man, like it's crazy. Like, you want to start just doing, you know, like cool bucket list items and, you know, throw some parties. And, you know, when you start looking at, you know, all these different clinical trials that can be, you know, it could be in Duke, it could be in Florida, it could be in, it could be outside of Buffalo where there's one, it could be this place, it could be that place. And it's like, well,
Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, oof. we're not, you know, you don't want to get, you don't want to be, you can't, certainly can't fly all over the country. And then you don't really want to be driving all over the country when that's going on and you got kids in high school and all of that. But thankfully, I mean, we're very fortunate. Like, Northwestern is, you know, it's one of the top five, neurological cancer hospitals in the country. So the resources are all right here. And that's amazing. So we'll see. We don't, like I said, we don't know everything yet, so I don't want to speak out of school. But you know, it's just a wild thing to deal with and to process. And I'm not seeing a therapist right now. That should change probably. Pandemic kind of interrupted that. So sometimes this radio show is just going to be the old therapy, Mac, and we'll work through it together. And I hope you guys will indulge me. But it's like you just think about, like, everyone says life isn't fair. It's like, man, you have no idea. Like, he was healthy when he had his heart attack at 42. Like, that was just bad genetic luck. This was like not an obese man. This was not an unhealthy man. And it was just, it snuck up on him. There was no reason for him to know it was going to happen. And then, but like, since then, he has been the picture of health. Like, green smoothies every day.
Because they're, you know, so much fun to drink.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, bought a Peloton, setting personal records, running, you know, 3-4 miles a day, 4 or 5 times a week. Like, it's
everything
just been the,
little brother is not.
Everything I'm not. Like, glasses half full, good eater.
Yeah.
Like, just like naturally positive, like everything I am not in so many ways. And then they say glioblastoma, like, yeah, you know, between 50 and 75 is when it starts to become more common. Dude turned 50 this year.
Yeah.
Glioblastoma. Like, it's just, it's just so unfair. And he could not be a better guy. And so it's, you know, he's going to get through it. Like, we're going to get through it together for as best as we can and try to maximize hopefully a lot of time that we have left. But man, he's being so open and honest and forthright, and he's just the best. Like, he's just the best. So I don't know what else to say right now, but that's why I was gone Thursday and Friday. And frankly, if we didn't have Dominic Lombardozzi on the show on Wednesday,
yeah.
I was like, what could be a better diversion for me than talking to a character from The Wire about my all-time favorite television show?
Uh-huh.
If he wasn't on the show, I might have dipped out of Wednesday's show, but you know.
Yeah.
It's just life, man. It's just
It's life.
Just really,
life
really
life
hard
hurts.
Sometimes.
It hurts for my heart goes out. I couldn't imagine, and I don't know. And one thing that I hear this a lot when people go through tragedy. It's been said to me. It's probably been said to you already since Brad's diagnosis came through. And people don't mean this to be a hurtful thing, but when you hear people say when they go to wakes, I never know what to say, and what they come up with is, I lost my mother a few years ago, so I know exactly how you feel. We all got to stop saying that, because you don't know how someone else feels. You may have gone through something very, very similar, but to me, those words, while they are not intended to be harmful, completely diminish somebody's personal experience. My brother's been saying, I have no idea what your relationship has been, what your brother meant to you when you were going through scoliosis, how all the things you guys have been through. How in the world could somebody like me or anybody who works with us know what your relationship is, what it's been? And again, people don't mean to be dismissive, but I find those words to really be nails on a chalkboard when I hear them. I know how you... No, you don't. You don't. You really don't. And I certainly would not pretend to in this particular scenario. All I can relate to is having one brother, just like you do. Unlike you, mine's a little bit younger than I am, and I love him so much. I don't know if it's possible to love a man more than I love my brother, like I love my sons. And it's got to really suck. And I would never suggest that, even if I had been through something similar. I know how you feel. We all got to stop saying that. Everybody exorcise that from the vocabulary going forward.
Yeah, it's I try not to get too caught up in little misspeaks or things like that, because like you said the intentions are good. Like, I certainly don't need people, I had someone DM me and talk about, like, I lost my sibling 2 years ago, hope you don't need to go through that. It's like, man, I don't even, like, please don't even put that into the ecosystem, but it's, I get it, like, you're saying something nice, but the best stuff is positive. Think positive, be positive. One of the things you read about, like, what you're supposed to, you want to provide normalcy. You want to be positive. Yeah, and then in the moments, basically, it's like when he's getting treatment, that's the time for brain cancer. And then otherwise, you want to just make memories and have laughs and try to give as much normalcy as possible. Be there when you need to be there for the hard stuff and just have the real conversations. But he's unbelievable. Like, he's crazy. Like, he was making jokes. He was asking me about when sports are coming back. Like, he's like, man, I guess we're not getting to the Derby this year. I'm like, yeah, I know. We had planned to do that for his 50th birthday. Tough times. It's like, we'll probably never go to Vegas again. Vegas kind of gross with COVID. We're thinking of stuff that we're going to be able to do, and trying to focus our energy on making positive memories and all of that stuff. But it's and no, Texter, don't worry, this is not going to be a daily segment. This Texter says I use this show to get away from my stress and my downers, so I'll get back to being the dancing monkey for you in just a couple of minutes. But this is my time right now, sir or ma'am.
How is his strength? You reported to us last week how after the surgery, is he getting a little stronger?
Yeah, he is. Like, it's got 30 staples in his head that come out this week. And so, I heard today he rode the exercise bike, rode the Peloton. So that's a great sign, because he was absolutely loving doing that. I was over there a couple of days ago, and we put in a lunch order, and, you know, he ordered a burger, and his wife was real happy about that. Not, she normally would not have been happy about a burger order a couple of months ago because of the heart concern. Yeah. Yeah. But that was a sign that his appetite was coming back. They're grilling steaks tonight for their anniversary. So, you know, he wants to get started. Like, he's a worker. He wants to attack this treatment head on, and, you know, he's bored, and he's got the right attitude. Like, he believes that he's going to kick this thing's ass, and that's how you have to approach it. So it's wild. Like, it's a wild thing. So his energy is coming back. His appetite is coming back. He's not, you know, napping as much anymore. And you know, but it'll be a roller coaster. There'll be ups and downs because this cancer treatment is no joke, as anyone who knows, has loved ones who have gone through it knows. But it's so he's not naive to what's ahead for him. Far from it. But I cannot imagine that there has been anyone who has had this diagnosis in his particular set of circumstances that has a more positive outlook. It's absolutely possible to have as positive an outlook, but it strikes me as fairly impossible to have a more positive outlook than my big brother Brad. It's truly inspiring stuff.
Yes,
so,
it is. You know, it's inspirational hearing that. It really is.
Yeah. So I, you know, I love him so much, and I, you know, I'm going out there again on Friday, cause we're off for the fourth. And so, you know, it's just our new reality, and it's hard to come to grips with that. You know, my little sister, two little sisters, one drove in from California to be here. And so she's here for a little while, and my other little sister lives here, and we were talking, and it's like, you guys in shock? Have you processed it? Like, where are you on the pendulum here? You know, and I think all three of us, like the three of the four siblings, were all at three different places, which is totally natural. Mm-hmm. But like trying to work through it all, you know, as a family support group, it's there's plenty of playbooks for it, right? Like, you can Google it. There's blog posts and support groups and counseling and message boards and advice and articles, and there's so much support. But then it's your particular set of circumstances and your particular relationship and your particular feelings, you know, and everything that goes into it. So I certainly haven't read anyone who seems to know exactly how I'm feeling. So it can be isolating in that way. But yeah, like I said, I appreciate you guys very much for letting me talk about it. And yeah, letting me not be here when I need to not be here, and letting me be here when I do need to be, and we'll figure it out as we go through it. But yeah, so that's the update on my big brother Brad. And yeah, just send him good vibes and positive thoughts. I would very much appreciate it. But Mac, yeah. Cam Newton, Ron Rivera is going to be on the show today, right? 4:30, Chico.
Yes, he is. He'll be wrapping up a league call. That's all he told me. We didn't talk. We just exchanged text messages. Who wants to communicate anymore, right? We just want results. Let
yes.
me give people 15 seconds of thought here. I don't know what that means, a league call. It's probably not as dramatic as getting a hold of Mark Cuban right after he got off a conference call with the president a few months ago. Remember those days? That was probably right around day 29. Of quarantine, but
simpler times, man.
Yeah,
simpler times.
Right. Today is day 71. More on that in a sec. But yeah, we'll talk with him about Cam Newton going to the Patriots. I was reading text reaction to the last 20 minutes of Lawrence's show today. Apparently, there were a lot of Bears fans. There was a lot of Bears conversation. I'm reading lots of Bears fans upset it wasn't their team that went out and made Cam Newton a $7.5 million offer for just 1 year and went out and traded a fourth rounder for Nick Foles. Because of Newton's health issues, I can't jump on board with that. Maybe they will wind up ruining the day. They weren't interested in Newton, but as immobile as he has been, as banged up as he has been the last couple of years, even though he's not old, he's going to be 31 this season, right? He's not an old man or anything, but he was so much more effective when he was capable of running with the ball in his MVP season. He was just as lethal as a ball carrier as he was a passer. And with that part of his game removed, I don't find him to be a top-tier quarterback. So I can't bang the Bears around today as much as I'd like to. Did a good chunk of that for something they did 21 years ago when you were out on Friday. There was an SI.com story on the Dave McGinnis hiring fiasco. That's always fun.
Timely.
To revisit that. Yeah, how about a documentary? Can we get a documentary?
There haven't been enough of those recently.
On
that
dark day, that January day in 1999 when Sweaty Teddy called everybody together and then said, hey, we don't have any news today. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's good to feel feelings for sports, to feel sports passion. So if it takes something from 21 years ago to get you to rail against the Bears and treat it like it's today, then so be it. I will not be railing against the Bears for getting Foles instead of Cam Newton as well, but there's a caveat to that. Like I've been a little surprised by the national reaction, if I could generalize, to Cam Newton going to the Patriots, and I think they're missing something, and I don't know if it's just a theory that I have. I want to run it by you. I do not expect Cam Newton to be what it seems like many in the national media think that Cam Newton will be for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I want to run that by you coming up next on The Score.
Breaking Bears news. Cam Newton signs with the Bears. For more details on this huge story and what it means for the future of Mitch Trubisky as Bears starting quarterback.
It would have been so much fun if Big Voice Guy would have gotten that one right. Of course, we were prepared for it, though, here with Mitch Rosen guiding us at 670 The Score.
I think that's something we got to keep in-house.
Yeah, there's no stone that's left unturned with Mitch Rosen when it comes to his pipeline to Big Voice Guy and things that may happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it may happen. He's prepared for those things.
Which is great, and you got to be prepared. And I remember when we talked about it at the time, I said, I don't think Cam Newton is healthy enough to play football this year, but if he is, of course I would want him on the Bears. Like, that was my stance. Because the guys who were out there that changed teams this offseason, for the most part, don't have anywhere near the pedigree of Cam Newton. Like, if you were just evaluating them as football players, right? Like Philip Rivers has.
Yeah, Philip Rivers in Indianapolis. Tom Brady certainly in Tampa.
Yeah, but I mean, much older, right? Brady 11 years older. Rivers 8 or 9 years older.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So in terms of like, you can get a former MVP at 31 years old if he was healthy. Like, I believe that if Cam Newton was healthy, he would have signed a deal like Teddy Bridgewater signed this
probably
offseason.
Probably, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, it's not like he's been blackballed in any way. It's not like this is some sort of like malcontent who's bounced around the league. Like some people have some bad things to say about Cam Newton, but plenty of people have nothing but positive things to say about Cam Newton as well. And like the timeline here, he tore his rotator cuff and had surgery on his throwing shoulder in 2017. He injured his throwing shoulder in week 10 of 2018, played through the injury, but finished that season very poorly. Then had off-season shoulder surgery for that week 10 injury in January of 2019. Came back for the 2019 preseason, hurt his foot. It was misdiagnosed. Played poorly for a couple of weeks, then got shut down with the Liz Frank injury and had foot surgery in December. We haven't seen him since. We haven't seen Cam Newton release an Instagram video of him running and throwing and looking awesome. Ron Rivera traded for a 5th-round pick for Kyle Allen when he got the job at Washington, and Ron Rivera will join us at 4:30. Like, there's no indication whatsoever, and then he signs a minimum deal filled with incentives in late June when only one other team, according to Adam Schefter, even showed a cursory interest, and that was the Cleveland Browns. Like, it's a good deal for the Patriots because there's no downside to it. It's all incentives. They're paying him no money, and it's a one-year deal. Like, it can't hurt them. But I don't expect him to be their week one starter, and I don't expect him to play very much, if at all, this season.
I think he's got a real good chance of being their week one starter if he's, you know, is somewhere remotely close to being healthy. What's the other option there? The Patriots, we've never seen Belichick, unless I'm missing something, in rebuild mode playing for the future. They're trying to win a championship every year. Now, he's had Tom Brady every year along the way as well, so that changes things. But I would have to think, as a playoff team a year ago, they're certainly not thinking about anything other than being a playoff team again this year. And if Cam Newton is in one piece the first, second Sunday in September, I think he'll be their guy.
Yeah, if he's healthy, I think he will be. Like, if he's healthy, I absolutely think Cam Newton is better than Jarrett Stidham. You know, I don't think there's much debate about that, but I think that it's very unlikely that he's healthy, or else the marketplace would have shown it. Am I looking at that too simplistically? Like, if the league thought Cam Newton was healthy and was going to be a week one starter, Cam Newton would have signed months ago for millions of dollars guaranteed with multiple years guaranteed, right? Like, he's
right. Yeah.
but he didn't.
Carolina might have considered giving him another whirl, because what did Teddy Bridgewater get? $21 million a year, I think.
Yeah, you got a $60 million deal.
Right, $60 million. So you're going to pay Teddy Bridgewater, who, oh boy, was he impressive in those five games he started for Drew Brees, but he doesn't have, the bona fide you got in Cam Newton, but they went another direction. So that tells you, even though it's Matt Rhule and it's, not Rivera who went on to Washington, it still gives you an indication, because they know what Cam Newton is right now. That's the same medical staff. It's the, there's a lot of people still on the staff when he last played for them. So if they're weary of it, I would have to think a lot of other teams are going to say, all right, if he wasn't enough for them and they want to go out and sign Teddy Bridgewater, unless it's just a complete scenery change scenario. But I don't think that was the case. He's pretty well revered in the Charlotte area.
Yeah, and 2018, right, the last time we saw Cam Newton healthy for at least a part of a season. He was healthy at the beginning, and then, like I said, he suffered the shoulder injury in Week 10. He played 14 games. He had the second highest passer rating of his career. It was in the mid-90s, around 94. Highest completion percentage of his career, 28 total touchdowns, about 3,400 passing yards, nearly 500 rushing yards in 14 games. Most, like, not all of which he was healthy. He was healthy for some. He was hurt in playing through the shoulder injury for others. Like, that's pretty damn good. Like, that is somewhere between the, if you extrapolate that over 16 games, that's somewhere between the, I don't know, what, 12th and 16th best quarterback in the NFL? It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy, we saw Alex Smith get a $75 million guaranteed deal in Washington before he had his leg injury. Like, this league pays for competent average quarterback play if you're in your early 30s. Like, because then you can play well into your late 30s, no problem. So, like, if Cam Newton was healthy, Cam Newton would have been paid an astronomical amount of money in an offseason that had teams trading for Nick Foles and acquiring Andy Dalton to be backups and giving Teddy Bridgewater money and, all of the things that happened to this offseason, there would have been a market for a healthy Cam Newton. So I just, until proven otherwise, I'm going to expect him to not be healthy. Unfortunately, because I love Cam Newton. I like watching him play.
Yes, you always have been a Cam Newton advocate, and I'm taking a peek at the text line here, and there are, a lot of people who think, hey, you guys are forgetting something. The Bears have Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, and somebody wrote that if Cam Newton is 70%, that's better than what we had. Not if he can't run. Not if he's immobile. That's too much of a part of his game. If that ankle is bothering him, if his foot is problematic, I don't want to deal with that. And I agree with you. The Bears are not exactly what you would call set at the most important position in sports. But I wouldn't have felt Cam Newton gives you much more of a reason to feel optimistic about this coming season. And apparently 31 other teams feel similarly. The only team that feels differently is the Patriots, because they signed him, and it took very late in the game before he finally got a deal.
Right, he got a minimum deal, but also, so Cam wanted to go to a spot where there was no, you know, sure thing starting quarterback. So if the Bears didn't have Nick Foles, the Bears absolutely would have been a qualifier for it. And I remember months ago, Ian Rappaport reported that the Panthers reached out to the Chargers and the Bears, among a couple other teams, about trading for Cam Newton. The Chargers end up drafting Herbert, and the Bears trade for Nick Foles. And yeah, in a pandemic when there's no mini camp and no on-field offseason, getting a guy that your coach and your quarterback coach and your offensive coordinator and who knows your system in Nick Foles is a more immediate fit than Cam Newton. But if Cam Newton was healthy, I would like to think that Matt Nagy would adjust his offense to fitting Cam Newton's skill set, but we would be crushing the Bears if the only move they made this offseason was to, in terms of competition for Mitch Trubisky, was bringing in Cam Newton, and then Cam Newton wasn't even healthy enough to play until
right.
later in the season.
Right, yeah, you're
we
right.
We would crush them for that.
There's no question.
And
they
would
deserve
deserved.
It. Yes.
Yes, of course. Like, if I was told 4 months ago, Cam Newton healthy, 100% healthy, he's running on his feet, he's leaping, he's jumping, he's full exercises, shoulders healthy, feet are healthy, he's good to go, I would have been leading the damn charge for him to come to Chicago. Like, there would have been hashtags, there would have been signs, I might have flown a damn banner over Hallis Hall. I love Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton's, his 20s were legitimately Hall of Fame. I don't think there's much of a chance of his 30s being Hall of Fame, so I don't think he'll make it. But MVP, 15-1, the record for rushing touchdowns.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
Yeah, I love Cam Newton. But and if he plays 16 games this year, by the way, then I do think it is a fair criticism not only of the Bears, but of a lot of teams in the NFL. Like, if he is healthy and plays 16 games, then it's Bill Belichick, great job. Unbelievable, you're a wizard and you fooled the entire league, and I'll be the first one to say I wish he was a Bear. But I have no reason to believe, based on how the market treated Cam Newton, that he is going to be ready to be the week one starter. I'd bet right now that it's Stidham or whatever the hell his name is.
All right, I will take your action on that. First bet right. I've made since Super Bowl 54. That is the one they just played in first Sunday of February, wasn't it, 54? I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, let's make
so.
A bet. Let's make
100
a
bucks?
Bet. I'll bet it's, yes, I'll, 100 bucks, no handicap, no odds, just even money, $100. I will take Cam Newton as the Patriots' opening day quarterback.
Yeah, just based on what we know now, because clearly he's more talented, right? Like, obviously.
You'd think that, you know, he would have been more talented than Kyle Allen, too, and there was debate about that. That's how beat up he was last year. People are
Correct.
Thinking that they had a better chance of winning with the, you know, butter-fingered Kyle Allen. He doesn't throw it to the wrong team. He just can't hang on to the football.
I mean, these injuries are serious. He's had two surgeries on his throwing shoulder in the last 3 years, and Liz Frank, for some people, can be career-ending.
Yes.
It's like broken bone displacement in your foot. Cam Newton is, what, 260 pounds, like, in shape? It's like in basketball when you say, oh, man, the worst thing that could happen to a 7-footer, you don't want back injuries, you don't want feet injuries, they're too big. You don't want a broken bone in your foot for Cam Newton. And by the way, Cam Newton's pretty good at social media and marketing and commercials and charismatic. Don't you think if he was in the quote unquote best shape of his life, we would have seen some video to indicate that on one of his many social media platforms by now?
Yes. In this era, yes. And he would be a guy who would be willing to do that. Yes. I think that probably would have been a part of his offseason pitch. Look what I can do.
It would have been smart. Have your agent stage a workout with cameras, run them through it, send all the teams a link to watch it, broadcast it on YouTube. We would have seen it. And so, again, I'm not happy about this at all. I hope Cam Newton is the quarterback of the Patriots. It's an awesome story. Belichick's a wizard. I would love to see him have a great second half of his career. I am a unapologetic Cam Newton fan. I just think football got him, man. It gets people. You can have bad injury luck. Look at what happened to Andrew Luck. No pun intended. He's a big dude who had a lot of contact and a ton of injuries. And
especially quarterbacks who earn their livings by running with the football. That's why there was so much discussion. And I know people grew tired of it last year with Lamar Jackson. How long can you survive like that? Well, you know, history shows you those careers historically are much shorter than the careers of drop back passers or guys who just like to sit there and peruse the field, you know, a Peyton Manning type, guys who play into their late 30s or early 40s. Dante Culpepper was a guy who was a great big man and came into the league, was not at Newton's level as a passer, never did some of the things Cam Newton did, but in body types, they were similar. And his career was a flash in the pan because he just got too damn beat up.
Yeah, and I hope that that's not the case for Cam Newton. But I think if he was healthy, the league would have paid him because the league absolutely they've paid for talents way worse than Cam Newton at this stage of his career. So I always say you can follow the money, follow the actions in the NFL. A veteran minimum contract full of incentives in late June does not strike me as the deal that a week one starting quarterback gets in the NFL. We'll see if I'm wrong. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score. A couple people saying that Cam Newton is posting IG videos. You could go watch them. They're on Cam Newton's Instagram page. They are mostly of him lifting weights, and Cam Newton, it never was a problem of him being jacked. And they are like very edited, black and white hype videos. They in no way prove that he's over and past his Liz Frank injury. I hope to be wrong about this. And if I am, then the Patriots just got an incredible steal if that guy's 100% healthy. But those are hype videos. That's not, let me stage an unedited workout and show you footage that I can do this. But we'll keep talking Cam Newton, and Ron Rivera will be on the show at 4:30 today to talk about why he chose to trade for Kyle Allen instead of Cam Newton. But more news in baseball, Mac, as Ryan Zimmerman has joined up with a pitcher on the Diamondbacks of opting out of playing in this 60-game season. Mike Leake, thank you. Thank you, Tanny. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Zimmerman stressing that it's not a retirement and wishing his Nationals teammates all the best in the world at defending their championship, but taking a pass on the 60-game schedule because of the coronavirus. I assume the line is just beginning to form, and I will be surprised if at more than half of the teams in baseball don't have at least one dissenter who decides to walk and not participate. And I'm doing my very best, as I know you have been also, Parkins, to be optimistic about this. And if baseball wants to put lesser talent on the field when the marquee players start to test positive and have to go away for a couple of weeks, I can't stop them. I don't know how well that's going to go. But Ryan Zimmerman, number two, and I would expect that list to start growing rapidly as teams are expecting to be getting together very, very soon to continue workouts and summer camp.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting conversation because John Heyman just shared that Anthony Rizzo is planning to play at this point. Rizzo presumably would fall into the quote high risk category as a cancer survivor and could opt out with pay should he change his mind. No Cubs known yet to be opting out. That from John Heyman. So veteran players who have already been paid, I could see more of them opting out. It's hard for me to imagine, and guys maybe like really close to their free agency. Like, for example, Mookie Betts, Will he opt out? I'd be surprised. Second best player in baseball. I'd be surprised. But this is a guy who is 60 games away from becoming a free agent and signing what people thought was going to be a $400 million deal and now might be $350, $300, $250 million. He cost himself a lot of money here with the economic status of the game in relation to the pandemic. What if he ruptures his Achilles in a 60-game season? I don't know that if I'm a guy like him, like a year away from free agency, that I'd be loving the prospect of doing this. But if I'm young and unproven, I feel like I need that year of service time. And if I haven't been paid that generational wealth yet, I probably can't give up the money.
Right.
So I feel like we're limiting the number of players who legitimately are going to actually opt out of this thing.
Yeah, so you're suggesting there might be more of a willingness to take a risk for those who have not yet earned the money or earned their keep at the big league level. See, now that's exactly what Florio was trying to say a week and a half ago when he started talking about bubble guys in the NFL wishing they could have Amazon drop off a dose of coronavirus at their front door.
I don't condone this, and I think it's reckless. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb. But
it's not exactly what Florio was saying.
Well, it's
it's no, it isn't, because all I'm saying is that the guys are going to be more likely to play.
Yeah.
Who haven't been paid because they need the money. We're all working because we need money. But Florio then said, in order to make the team, you would inject yourself with the virus. I'm not suggesting that baseball
infect
players...
Infect yourself. I don't know. Inject yourself. Does it come in syringe form?
I'm sure you can. I'm sure that's the tough to social distance away from a needle. Infect, inject, whatever the case may be.
Give me 50 cc's of coronavirus and do it stat.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is going to be, but I do think that I was reading this long story today about the now 100-plus page protocols that baseball has in place to try to keep this safe and keep baseball going. It's an amazing undertaking that they're trying to do. Like, it says in this thing that when there's a positive test, the teams are responsible for contact tracing testing. Meaning, if Anthony Rizzo tested positive, the Cubs would need to conduct the contact tracing tests on anyone that Rizzo has been in close contact with. So if he's been responsible, and it's just his wife and nobody else, cool. But what if someone breaks quarantine, right, and is going out to a bar or a restaurant, and then they test positive? Is baseball really expecting teams to conduct dozens and dozens and dozens of tests for anyone that an irresponsible player may have come in contact with once they test positive? That strikes me as virtually impossible.
It is impossible. Well, and where's the honesty going to be, especially for a married man, a guy in his 20s out there enjoying life on the road and women of easy virtue who want to shake their moneymaker for a big league ball player? That happens. That's not going to stop this summer. Because there's a pandemic and more than 125,000 Americans have died because of this thing. Guys are going to continue to live like that. There's not a doubt in my mind. I mean, young guys in their 20s, are you kidding me? Be serious.
Yeah, I find it to be very ambitious, virtually impossible to implement, and almost no discussion of penalties or punishment for guys who just break this protocol. So how the hell they're going to enforce all of this stuff, I have no clue. But baseball is in for a lot of news that let's talk about it coming up. If the average team has 50 guys right now on their roster, right, in terms of this for their what they're calling summer camp, times 30 teams, that's 1,500 tests that have to be done in the next week or so. What do you think baseball's appetite is going to be for what will be maybe approaching 100 positive tests in its sport? Let's get into it coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.